This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and every 10th episode, we do something kind of special, kind of different. What we do is we go off topic. So regardless of which show it is on the Hartman Media Network, whether it be one of the financial shows, economics, real estate investing, travel, longevity, all of the other topics that we have, every 10th episode, we go off topic and we explore something of general interest, something of general life success value. And so many of our listeners around the world in 164 countries have absolutely loved our 10th episode shows. So that's what we're going to do today. And let's go ahead and get to our guest with a special 10th episode show. And of course, on the next episode, we'll be back to our regular programming. Here we go. Pleasure to welcome best-selling author Bruce Cameron. He is the author of many books. Some of the titles, all of the titles are pretty funny and entertaining. I love the title, Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. But what we're going to talk about today is he's known for his great books on one of my favorite subjects and certainly my favorite creature, and that is man's best friend's dogs. And my dog is sitting right here, Bruce. So welcome to the show. And we're both listening and want to hear more about it. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, everybody says a man's best friend. And my favorite joke that's out there right now is if you want to know who really loves you, lock both your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car for 4 hours, and then when you open up the trunk, see which one of them is glad to see you.
Do not do this, by the way.
don't actually do that. That's a good joke.
Do not do that. So give our listeners a sense of geography. Where are you located?
I'm currently in Los Angeles, California. I came out here to work on the TV show, Eight Simple Rules.
Okay, fantastic. And where are you based?
I'm in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, no, I mean, that's where you are now, but where do you live?
I've been living here for the past decade.
Oh, okay. So you're there permanently. You made it sound as though you were just there for the movie or the TV show.
Oh, no. Once you get into the gravitational pull of Los Angeles, you cannot escape.
It's my hometown. I'm glad I escaped, but that's another topic. So, you know, the dog's purpose, the dogs of Christmas, a dog's journey. You know, tell us about these books and what dogs can teach us.
I will tell you that my big book, A Dog's Purpose, which came out in 2010, was what we'd have to call a surprise hit. No, it was produced with a very tiny little budget. Nobody thought that it was worth advertising. It was just a book with a dog on the cover. The reason it resonated with people is that it really addresses two things that we know to be true, and that is that true love lasts forever. And yet your real friends will always be there for you if you just know where to look. And in this case, the real friend is a dog. And this very special dog doesn't die at the end of the book like in some other dog books I can name. This dog keeps being reborn. And because it keeps being reborn and remembers its previous lives, it comes to the conclusion that it must have a purpose, must have some reason why this keeps happening. And until the dog can figure out that purpose and fulfill it, it's going to keep coming back for more.
They say that about reincarnation with people. I've heard that before. But this is with a dog. That's fantastic. Okay. And so what happens on the dog's journey?
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way, because a dog's purpose is the first one. A dog's journey is the second one, because, you know, the dog doesn't die. What the dog has to do, though, is try to figure out why this keeps happening. And in a dog's journey, it comes to the conclusion that there's a very special person that needs protection in the world. As a dog meets this woman who, even as a little child, her name is CJ, which stands for Clarity June. When we meet CJ, she is just always a little girl in trouble. And then as she gets older, she becomes a little girl who is troubled. She has a lot of things happen to her in her life. And the secret to her survival is that her soul is reinforced with the love of a good dog. And the dog realizes that his mission in life, every rebirth, is to find his way back to CJ and help her with whatever calamity has befallen her since his last incarnation. It is a sweet, touching book, and I think the reason it really resonates with people has to do with a lot of people telling me, hey, I swear that my dog Freckles is the reincarnation of my dog Rufus. That they're exactly the same. They behave the same way. And so I think it really touches something for people.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. So what does the dog learn along the way in this journey, or what does the dog's master learn, maybe more importantly?
Yeah, that's a great question because, it's told from the perspective of the dog. And so what I tried to do, therefore, was write from the perspective of a real dog. And that means a real dog that doesn't understand English, so you can have a conversation in front of the dog, and the dog will hear it. Dogs have good hearing, but it won't necessarily know what you're talking about. And you can have a lecture series on never tip over the trash can, and the dog doesn't know what you're talking about. But the dog does know that you're upset. The dog does know that you're angry or sad or whatever. They're really good at reading our emotions. They can tell by our facial expressions, and they can sense something coming off of us. So that's what the dog learns. The people all just go on with their people's lives. I mean, I think that one of the things that happens with dogs are here for such a short period of time, and we know that. We know when we adopt a dog that someday there's going to be a very heartbreaking moment in our lives as we have to say goodbye to this cherished friend. And yet the dogs who are here for such a short time live each day full of joy and happiness. In some ways, you can say the dogs in their brief decade, 12 years or so, have a much more full, robust, and fulfilled life than a lot of people do over 60, 70, 80 years. So I love that the lesson of the dogs is that we should have every day be full of joy, and we should live life like the dogs.
Yeah, we should. What gets in the way of that, though? what is stopping us from that?
Yeah, my newest book is The Dogs of Christmas, and what it delves into is exactly what's stopping that. There's a man named Josh. He should be having the time of his life. He's a young man. He's in his 20s. He's financially doing okay. He owns his own place. He lives in Colorado. But he lives by himself because his family's kind of scattered, and his girlfriend has dumped him, and he just hasn't gotten around to getting another girlfriend. He doesn't realize it, but he's becoming a hermit. He's becoming the kind of hermit that so many of us are becoming today, where we've become focused on our screens and the conversations we're having by using our thumbs instead of on people's expressions and the tones of their voice. We think we're more socially active than ever because we're sending messages back and forth. But what happens with Josh anyway is that he is more and more just like a modern-day hermit. And then into his life comes something completely unexpected. He's never had a dog before, and then because of a crazy neighbor, he suddenly not only has a dog dumped on him, he has a pregnant dog dumped on him. And he now has a house full of dog and puppies that he needs to deal with. And how it transforms Josh and makes him a much more full person with an open heart is really the message of The Dogs of Christmas.
There's a great video about social media, you know, and then it really the whole thesis is social media is anything but social. You know, you talked, Bruce, about how we spend our time, you know, typing out messages and so forth and looking at screens. And this video, everybody should go watch it. It's called Look Up, and you can find it on YouTube. Maybe you've seen it. And it, you know, here's the guy, you know, walking by looking at his phone, and the woman of his dreams just walked by him and he didn't even see it, you know. And it's sadly true, and I'm guilty as charged too, you know. So
try looking down. Look down at your dog. Your dog is right there on point, on alert, ready for you to pay it some attention. And I think you're really missing a lot of life if you don't stop texting, get up, get on your hands and knees, put your arms around your dog, pet your dog, wrestle with your dog. And what Josh learns in The Dogs of Christmas is even more profound, because not only has he never had a dog before, but puppies are bring you a particularly intense sense of joy into your life. And it's very dramatic how these dogs come into to Josh's life, because it parallels the story of my own dog. My own dog, Tucker, was abandoned in a box at birth at an animal shelter. Literally spent the night huddled in the bottom of a cardboard box. The next morning, the shelter worker opens the box and sees these little guys huddled in there and says, oh no, because they don't have the resources to sit and bottle feed half a dozen puppies. They can't. And so it meant that these puppies in this box were slated for sure death. But then they called my daughter, and my daughter runs an animal rescue in Denver that specializes in rescuing animals that are on death row, finding those animals that can be rehabilitated or get surgery or somehow re-qualified to be adopted. And they called her and they said, we've got this box of puppies we're going to have to euthanize. And she said, well, I don't have the staff either, but what I do have is a German Shepherd who just weaned her pups yesterday. So let's see what we can do about this. And so they brought the box of puppies into this German Shepherd and set them down. And with a long sigh, the German Shepherd adopted these puppies, saved life. Yeah. And that's how Tucker came to be my dog. And that story plays out in very similar fashion in the book, The Dogs of Christmas.
Yeah, fantastic. That's great. So dogs are very good at living in the moment. I would, you know, if there's like one way, you know, one great quality is that they live in the moment. They certainly never get mad, regardless of the conditions. You know, they just go with the flow, you know, and they make the best out of everything, it seems. Any more thoughts or tips or qualities that you know, dogs can teach us, you know, or how we can develop them that you want to share?
I just think that you are, if you are living with a dog, you are the subject of pure, unadulterated, unconditional love. And that we should luxuriate in that. We're not going to get that from any person. There's just always some ifs, thans, or buts. There's always a little bit of baggage. But what you get from a dog, the dog doesn't care if you're fat. The dog doesn't care if you got fired. Your dog doesn't even care if you eat too much or you drink too much or anything. All the dog cares about, really, is your happiness. Because they are never more happy than when you're happy. So take advantage of that. This is an amazing therapeutic element in your life. And I would also say, just as is the lesson of The Dogs of Christmas, which is sort of a love song to animal rescue, consider rescuing a dog. You can, of course, get great dogs from breeders, and I would never say that breeders don't represent an important part of the animal tradition. Certainly, purebreds will vanish if breeders vanish. But you can get a purebred dog from any rescue. If you really want a Labrador or a Dachshund, you can hold out until you get the dog of your dreams. That Labrador or that Dachshund will come into the system, I promise you, and you can adopt that dog. And really, what could be more wonderful than giving a home to an animal made homeless through no fault of its own?
Yeah. I mean, I've had 5 dogs in my life. They've all been rescue dogs. I just won't do the breeder thing. And, you know, they've all been awesome. This last one, I got her as a puppy. She was 8 weeks old. My dog had died a month earlier. I was just starting to look because I knew it might take a lot of time to find a new dog. And so I went, I finally got myself to go to the animal shelter. You know, I thought I better start looking, you know, and, you know, maybe I'll have a dog in 3 or 4 or 5 months. You know, someone surrendered a litter of 5 puppies and they had a raffle, and I put my name in and showed up on Monday morning at 11 and I was picked first. I literally got the pick of the litter. And so I just thought, this is destiny, you know? And bringing up a puppy is, it's pretty fun. It is a lot of work, but it's also pretty fun to watch them grow. But, you know, what you say is pretty true. Now, I want to ask you, what do you think about people? And it may be tough to answer this one candidly, honestly, on the show here, but what do you think about people who don't like dogs?
You know, I think it's okay to not like dogs. I don't judge people who say that they don't like dogs. I have a friend who doesn't like dogs, and she says it's because they lick her, and she finds that kind of stuff to be disgusting. So, okay. I think what I have a much more of a problem with are people who act out their dislike of animals by mistreating them. There's just no excuse for that. You're doing so much psychic damage to an animal when you mistreat it. I would say I'm much less trustful of someone who professes not to love dogs than I am of someone who says, oh yeah, I'm a big dog nut. I just feel like if you meet somebody who's a big dog nut, you have something in common right there, and it's a very decent human common quality that we share.
Yeah, I would agree with you for sure. Well, give out your website and tell people where they can find all of your books. And if you want to mention any of your other books, feel free.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity. You can find
But you got to give a little summary about it quickly.
Okay, all right. You can find out about all my books at adogspurpose.com. Because remember, A Dog's Purpose was my big book, and that's what I'm known for.
Bruce, I got to mention, you only have about 2,300 reviews on Amazon and 5 stars. I'm very envious. You know, I think my book has like 25 or 30 reviews on Amazon. Wow.
Yeah. This book, A Dog's Purpose, really touched people in ways that was surprising to me. And the number of people who have given it 5 stars, it's actually the highest ranked New York Times bestseller that I've ever come across. It has more 5-star reviews than The Help. I mean, it just... And I think it's got to do, it's not because I'm a brilliant writer, it's got to do because of the topic, it's because of the idea of a dog that is motivated to help people and who goes through his life learning life's lessons. I think that people found that to be so charming. So I'll always urge people to come to adogspurpose.com because we're giving away free stuff and we have a Dog of the Week contest. We give away prizes for that. And then when you're there, you'll learn about The Dogs of Christmas. That's a book that I'm very proud of because it's out now, and it's a Christmas gift book. It's Puppies at Christmas. That's intended to cheer you up and to cheer up anybody you give the book to. And I also have a thriller out that I just came out from the same publisher. It's in all bookstores right now. It's called The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. It's a thriller, but it's got a dog on the cover because I wrote it, and there's obviously a dog in the book. When I write a book, I like to write true stories, which means that people come home, they say hi to their dogs. I mean, because that's how I do it. And I think most people who have dogs come home to say hi to their dogs. And then if you read the statistics, more than half of all people have dogs in the home. So it is very definitely true that if I want to write a book about a character who seems real and American and true, I write about a guy like Ruddy McCann, who's the Repo Man in The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. He's a former football star, local hero, made a mistake, got sent to prison. When he came out, he's no longer a hero. He's more like a zero. He has no real popularity anymore. So he's a repo man, and he's a bouncer in a bar. And then things go from bad to worse when he starts hearing a voice in his head. Like he's just like literally a psychic problem. He's got a voice in his head, except for this voice claims to belong to a real person, a real murdered person who wants the Repo Man to find the killers and bring them to justice. And that's The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. And that's my latest book. That and The Dogs of Christmas are out now in hardcover in the bookstores.
The Dating Your Daughter and Marrying Your Daughter books, it just I don't know, for some reason I thought of that country and western song about cleaning my gun.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly when I wrote the 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, and it became a TV show starring John Ritter, 8 Simple Rules.
Give us a couple of those rules.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the first one is, if you pull in my driveway and honk, you better be delivering a package, because you're not picking anything up.
Okay, that's good.
And then I think my favorite is rule number 4, which is that you may have heard that in today's world, sex without a barrier method of some kind can kill you. Well, let me elaborate on that. When it comes to sex, I am the barrier, and I will kill you. I wrote this book because I felt like I was living in a zombie movie. Because all of a sudden, I'd open the door, and there'd be this creature there, and he looks like a zombie, and he smells like a zombie. And I'd say, you know, go away, go away. But I'd look and hear more coming. You know, they just keep coming like in a zombie movie. And they wanted to date my daughter. And they literally would pull in the driveway and honk their horn like my daughter's supposed to scamper out and jump in the car. And so I always beat my daughter to the car when they honk. And I'd knock on the window and say, you need to come on in the house.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have a conversation.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's great. Good stuff. Well, it was great having you on the show. And, you know, dogs, what awesome creatures they are. And I think everybody should learn to appreciate dogs more if they don't naturally like or appreciate them, because they really are just amazing creatures. And, you know, listen, I like cats too. I used to have a cat. Cats are fine, but dogs are pretty special. You know, they really are.
I had a cat. The cat never really liked me. You know, all my dogs have liked me. The cat didn't really like me.
But that's sort of part of the cat's charm, is they're very prissy, you know. They only like you when you're feeding them.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Bruce, thanks for joining us and sharing all of this with us. Appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.